Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
God spoke to His people through the prophets. And one of the prophets through whom He spoke was Isaiah. And when God, through Isaiah, was trying to persuade His people to do that which was according to the will of God, He approached them with these words, "Come now, let us reason together." Brethren, that's what I want us to do this morning. I come before you fully aware that the lesson I intend to present to you is one that in the religious world generally would be dismissed as being something totally irrelevant and unimportant. But I would take issue with that, of course. And I am also here aware, very well aware, that there be many of my brothers and sisters in Christ who do not believe that they have a responsibility to be present at all the services of the church. There are those who have been categorized sometimes as Sunday morning Christians. That may not altogether be fair, because it depends upon circumstances of people sometimes. But we're all aware that there be those of our number who do not attend Bible classes. They do not come at Sunday evening worship. They are not present at midweek Bible study. They cannot be depended upon to support the efforts of the preaching of the gospel in gospel meetings. They don't take advantage of the opportunities that are afforded them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brethren, I want to present to you as persuasively as I can, and not with unfair or unwarranted pressure tactics, offer unto you what I consider to be light and not just heat. Although I have to admit at times I'm rather frustrated at some of my brothers and sisters, I want to persuade you that when your love for the Lord is really as it ought to be, you will try as hard as you can to be present as many times as you can, rather than to be satisfied with as few times as you can to be present in the assembly. I want to persuade you, if I can, and do that by convincing evidence, that when your heart is right, you will not seek out nor ever use excuses for deliberate absenteeism. And I want to present to you scripturally based evidence. I have never consciously ever asked anybody in the matter of serving God to do something that I think simply because I think it and because I have said it. But I've tried to be very insistent that which I say because this is the will of God. And I know that you believe that's the way it ought to be. So I ask you in all kindness, and I think I know my heart and it has an interest and a love and respect for your soul and for the will of God. God be my judge on that, not you or anybody else. To come and let us reason together. Brethren, we should be present at every service to prove our gratitude and our love toward God. Think about that. Are not every one of us indebted to God? How much do we owe Him for His boundless love that was manifested through Jesus Christ? God has granted every one of us so many abundant physical blessings. But more important than those things, the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ and found in no other. We should come because we appreciate that. And we want to do everything that we can to uphold His majesty and His dignity and His will before a sin-cursed world. Who in the world could possibly doubt that we do, at least in part, show love and gratitude to God by assembling with brethren to worship God? I don't think anybody would even question that. But brethren, if we show love and gratitude to God by assembling together to worship, reason with me. What do we show when we deliberately absent ourselves from worship? We should be present at worship, brethren, because at those times we are offered the opportunity to be made spiritually stronger. We're taught in Hebrews 10 and verse 24 to provoke one another to love and good works. Brethren sometimes provoke one another, probably. I have heard that even some preachers sometimes provoke people the wrong way. But we are to provoke and to motivate and encourage one another. And brethren, when we come to services, a public worship tends to lead us to seeking a nobler life because there's strength from one another that we can share and partake of. It is a sweet fellowship to be together with those of kindred spirit. We live in a world that's hostile to the things that we uphold and profess to believe. So much of the world would completely, if it could, crush everything that we hold near and dear. You're aware of that, as I am. We need one another. We need the fellowship of one another. We need the fellowship of God and of Christ and the Holy Spirit, but also our brethren. We are made stronger by being in their presence. And the services are designed by Almighty God to make our souls more fit for an eternal habitation with Him. Heaven has been described, alluding to John the 14th chapter, as a prepared place for prepared people. The worship service helps to make us prepared, brethren. The spiritual bread of life is broken unto us and we are fed. Through prayer we come and pour out our hearts unto a God who has promised to be attentive and to respond. We are strengthened by having His Word preached unto us. It's amazing and tragic and sad. And I preface my remark with those terms in order to try to persuade every one of us. When time of trouble besets us, when difficulty overtakes us, when we are bereaved or distraught over one happening or another, it's not uncommon sometimes for people to actually cut their lifeline. If one was in the hospital depending upon the oxygen or depending upon the food supply or depending upon the blood flow, if he wants to live, it would certainly be folly upon folly to sever that line that supports and sustains them. Brethren, God is our present help in times of trouble. We dare not turn against God and turn against His church and cease to worship Him and cease to draw spiritual strength from Him in times when we need Him most. And yet sometimes people do that, and I'm trying to persuade you, reason with you, that's not the way to go. Of all times, that's when we need to reach out to God and to our brothers and sisters. We should be present at every service, brethren, because Christ said He would be in our midst. In Matthew 18 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name," that's by His authority, "there I am in the midst of them." We're here today by the authority of Jesus Christ. It should sober our thinking and bring us into a moment of awe and respect and reverence. To realize spiritually, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, is in our midst. He has promised to be here. You know, sometimes people will travel many miles, expend much money and much effort, maybe to see some notable worldly personality. They'll go a long distance, maybe to see the president or some entertainer or some other kind of celebrity of one sort or another. Friend, let us realize the greatest of all is in the midst of brethren who have assembled together to worship God. There's a story told about an irreligious man one time who was rather chiding an older Christian because he seemed to be the kind of person who was always at the services of the church, whenever, regardless of circumstances. He always arranged his affairs, tried to be there, even when many others did not obviously think it very necessary. And he was asked, "Why do you do that? Why do you go? Why are you there? So few are." And he wisely responded, and biblically too, "My Lord has said that He will be there, and that's enough for me to want to be there." Brethren, do you feel that way about it? Did you feel that way about it last Sunday night? Did you feel that way about it on Wednesday night? Will you feel that way about it this evening? Is that enough for you? I think we need to reason together on these things, don't you? I don't believe you could characterize what I'm saying as being unfair or unkind or intemperate. We should be present at every service, brethren, because the Lord wants His church to grow, because the church is composed of the saved of the earth. And the experience is, of course, that the church grows best when the members of the church put their loyalty to the church before everything else. And when other plans and activities, as best they possibly can be, are geared around the services, and nothing is deliberately planned, it will necessitate my forsaking the assembly together. Now I realize, and you do too, there are times when any of us might have to be away. We have had so many people of our number who have been sick. It would need to be good for them or for others for them to even be in our midst. I sometimes see brethren, I shake hands with them. "How are you?" "I've got the flu." "Well, why did you shake hands with me?" Unclean. We realize that. We're not talking about that, are we? And then there's the necessary care of the sick, and there'll be those who have to take care of the sick and those who have to take care of the elderly and other such situations. We're not talking about that. That's not a deliberate thing. There'll be other circumstances in life that sometimes raise its head and that poses problems for us. That's not the deliberate, willful thing that we're talking about. I'm talking about those of us who, if we would only put forth the effort, it really wouldn't be any problem for us to help the church grow by being present at the services. You know, even when people are sick, it has a negative effect. We're not accusing or making people feel bad, because that is just reality. If 100 of us were sick and could not be here, 100 more of us than are already sick, it would have a chilling effect. It has to be. But how much more when there be those of our number, and maybe you among them, that would and could be here but will not be here? What a chilling effect that has on the upbuilding of the church. Brethren, reason with me. If those who are Christians have an indifference toward the service of the church, what do we expect of those who are not yet Christians to think about the church? What will your children think when they see fathers and mothers ignoring the services of the church in preference of something else? What are you teaching them? What are you instilling in their heart? What are you showing them to be true value and priority? There be those who want the preacher and the elders and others to build up the church, and they should certainly be actively involved in that. But brethren, I'll tell you like I told a fellow the other day, I'm going to hit you hard now, but I'm doing it in kindness. Some of you are tearing down faster than some of the rest of us can build up. Now, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to reason with you. Some are really hurting the efforts because even what I'm saying today possibly is falling off of you like water off of a duck's back. And I care not who or how forceful the gospel of Christ might be preached. Those that won't uphold it and practice it, you minimize its potential effect. And at the same time, when you do uphold it and when you do support it and when you try to practice it, even by your presence at the service, you are making a significant contribution to the salvation of souls yet lost and weak souls that need to be strengthened and strong souls that need to be encouraged. Just by your presence. Story told about an old gentleman that sat down on the front. He couldn't see well enough to even read the songbook. Even sitting toward the front, he could hardly hear the preacher. Had arthritis so bad, he had to come in with a cane and could hardly get down, and he sat down and he couldn't even stand up to sing the songs because he hurt so bad, but he was always there. Somebody said, "Why? You can't hear, you can't see, you can't hardly bear to be there." He said, "I know it. But what do you go for?" "I didn't show whose side I'm on." By your very presence, you can show whose side you're on, brethren. And God needs people on His side. We should go to every service because of the good example. You know we're to be people are like the light of the world, salt of the earth, the city set on a hill, to let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 16. People observe you. And people imitate you. And you have an effect upon them by your influence. And at that regular hour when brethren gather together to obey God and to serve God, where is your influence? If presence were as a vote, would you vote to have services at any other time than just this 1 hour? And maybe not even with regularity on that? Brethren, we're going to be held accountable for our influence and our impressions upon others. I suppose what I'm going to say now really would be all maybe that I needed to say to those who really are serious about serving God. We should be present at every service that we physically can be because we want to obey God. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 is not an optional commandment. There is no such thing as an optional commandment. You either obey or you disobey a commandment. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is and some still is. Brethren, this is a divinely given revelation and command from God. Now, come, let me reason with you. How much does that impress you? We should be present because, and this is not the best reason in the world, I realize, but it's worth mentioning, at least I think so. It's by sure the safest thing for my soul to be present. You see, attendance at worship service is not supposed to be a matter of mere convenience. I go when it's convenient. It should be, and ought to be, and God wants it to be, a matter of conviction. When you attend only once, maybe twice, irregularly. Now ask yourself honestly, search your soul. Do you really have contentment that you're doing all you ought to be doing? Are you really satisfied with that? I dare say that you're not, and I say to you bluntly, that if you are, you really got some heart problems. You know, we don't toy around with our physical life. We don't deliberately, needlessly endanger our physical lives. We don't take chances with it. How much more ought we be careful about our spiritual life and the things of the soul? We're taught to make our calling and election sure. 1 Peter 1 and verse 10. Brethren, the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. One of the surest, not the only, not the cure-all, not suggesting that. One of the significant contributing factors to continued faithfulness in Christ in life and in service is faithful attendance at all the services of the Lord's church. It's one of the safeguards that are available to you. We have opportunity, the service in the church, to uphold God's truth. Opportunities not seized are lost. They're gone forever. How many opportunities have we abandoned for the sake of our own convenience? Of course, we're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. I know the distinction between work and worship. Work is one way we serve God, but worship is another way in which we serve God. We're to be people that try to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. My dear friend, how in the world can we persuade ourselves that we're doing that when we're sort of harum scarum and indifferent and negligent at the gathering when brethren lift their voices in praise to God? We ought not neglect our worship, brethren. We ought not neglect our Bible study. I just can't help but believe that you will have to admit, I've spoken to you as kindly as a gospel preacher can speak to a living soul. And I was determined to do that. I do that all the time. I don't know that I always succeed, but I try. But I really tried this morning. Because people get their feathers up sometime on this subject. And I knew that. I said, all right. What is it? You're going to walk softly and carry a big stick? I'm not even trying to carry a big stick. I do have a sword in my hand. And you can't fault any of these things on the manner in which it's been presented to you. Now, I'm not perfect, but I did that right this morning. And brethren, I don't think any of you can say that I did not present to you biblical evidence that's absolutely undeniable and irrefutable why every Christian ought to be present at every service he possibly can attend. The evidence is there. Now, what you do with it is going to be between you and God. Now, I'm not your judge, nor do I propose to be. But I do have a responsibility to make you aware of what Scripture teaches and what God's will is. And I don't believe there's anybody here of reasonable intelligence. Now, that doesn't sound exactly right. I believe everybody here is of reasonable intelligence. But I don't believe that there's anybody here that, having reasonable intelligence, can dare refute a single point I have made. But brethren, I want to tell you something. We don't really have a whole lot to brag about at this congregation about our support at other services of the church, maybe on Lord's Day morning, and that's not always too good. And I have but two motives for bringing this to your attention. That's God's will. That's motive number one. And motive number two is, if I can be of any help to us whatsoever to encourage us in this matter, I want to be, and the thing I must do most is to make sure you know what God's will is. And I've done that on this matter. And I know that there are many here who, like the fellow said, if they'd been here this morning, you sure would have told them. Well, they weren't here. And I'm not trying to just get anybody told. I am trying to get you informed and educated. Because it's obvious. It's undeniable. There are too many of us who do not take this matter seriously. This has been an albatross around the neck of the Lord's church just about everywhere. The indifference of brethren toward the services of the church. I really can't understand that attitude. What are your priorities? What are your values? Brethren, should not you be here? Is it possible for you to be here? Recognizing certain legitimate situations of which we've briefly mentioned and touched upon? Then will we be here? Now that's the matter that we're going to stand before God in judgment and give an answer. The lesson is yours this morning. I plead with you. And go ahead and get your songbooks before I make a plea with you. I want you to hear what I'm going to plead. Don't push this off. Don't brush it aside. It'll be to your spiritual detriment to do so. It'll be to your spiritual good to meditate on these things. It'll be such an encouragement to everybody if you have not been loyal and faithful to the service of the church to make a turnaround on that. To yourself and to others, what a blessing you can be. And I plead with you by the authority of Jesus Christ, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together.